Thank you so much for being here. Today we continue in our series, The Church. If you have your Bibles, be turning to Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians. We'll be going there in a few moments. Jesus said, "I will build my church." I'm so glad that the church is not some clever invention by conscientious people, aren't you? Wouldn't we be tired by now? Because the best thing that man can do, even our best inventions fall short. But when God makes something, when God does something, it's awesome. It's perfect. And even though the church can sometimes be difficult in regards to working in the day in and day out functions of the church, and sometimes even relationships can be difficult, I was thinking this morning about how beautiful the church is, because that's where we find growth. That's where we find that God is accomplishing the mission that He has brought us into the world to accomplish. Last week we talked about identity and who is it that we are. We wrestled with a couple things about in regards to where we connect in the body of Christ. That was last Sunday. We asked the question, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are now part of the body of Christ in the world today. The church is the body of Christ. Where do you connect? If you are a hand in the body, are you connected to the wrist? If you're an elbow, are you connected to the forearm? Are you connected to the body? It's vitally important that we as a church realize that we must remain connected and unified to accomplish the mission God has for us. It doesn't hurt for us also to ask the question once in a while, "Oh, there's my new little granddaughter." Hazley is here this morning, her first Sunday in church. And how old is she? Yeah, she's what, 12 days old. Whew, wonderful. Thank you. It just lifts a grandpa's heart up. Where was I? I lost everything. I just seen Hazley right there. I think it's important for us to ask the question of ourselves, does our family see that we are connected to the body? Do our neighbors see that we are connected to the body? What would their story be about, let's say, Ella's neighbors? Yeah, but they get up and they see you getting out on Sunday mornings, driving up here to Living Well. They see a connection in Ella, that she is part of the body. And she's working on Sunday mornings occasionally doing the greeting. And she works in the missions department and she helps raise funds for world evangelism. And it's connection to the body. Where do you connect? Lisa's in the worship team. We recognize that she heads up the prayer ministry, and we recognize that she is connected in so many ways to the body of Christ, the body of Christ, that she's connected to the body. Because the body is at work. The body has a function. The body is more than a culmination, a collection of parts. The body has life. God has created the body, the church, to have life, to have mission, and to fulfill what God has planned for us. Next week, we're going to talk about church partnership and how we do ministry together. Amen. Hey, friends, we got to stick together. Can I get an amen? Amen. We have to stick together. Reminds me of a story of two men who were out fishing, and one of them pretty soon caught a really big fish. He was reeling it in, getting it close to the edge of the boat, and it was so big, as he got close to the edge of the boat, he actually fell overboard and fell right in. And his buddy was looking over, and he heard his friend there in the water saying, "Help me, help me, you got to help me." And so he reached out, and the only place he could reach was his hair. And so he reached out and he grabbed a man's hair and it popped right off. It was a toupee, came right off. The man went back down again. He was looking around, looking around. Pretty soon he bobbed back up. Help me, help me. So the guy grabbed his arm and his arm came off. It was prosthetic. Arm came off. Went back down. Guy in the boat's thinking, where's my friend? Where's my friend? Pretty soon a leg came up and he grabbed the leg and the leg came off. That's good. I'm glad that wasn't my punchline, but that was really good. As the man continued splashing and calling out and sputtering, his friend turned to him in disgust and said, how can I help you if you don't stick together? Wasn't quite as good as Bob, but that was pretty good. We'll be talking more about that next week. Oh, by the way, November 25th, I'm going to be talking about money and giving and tithing. And so I wanted to give you plenty of chance to plan ahead. If you happen to have other things you want to do that morning. I know we like to hear about what God has to say about money. Amen. And then on December 2nd, we're going to be talking about where do we go from here? Vision. Exciting stuff. Of course, each of our sermons are uploaded every week to Living Well Church, our website there, livingwellchurch.org. So we arrive today on the work of the church. The work of the church. Did you know that today we begin an experimental journey, at least on YouTube? Today we're broadcasting live on YouTube. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Thank you, Mike, for that. And by the way, we've got a brand new computer dedicated completely to live stream. Isn't that awesome? And so, and I see two cameras back there pointing at me now today. So that's pretty cool as well. I'm not sure. Mike says that's not, this one's not working, but Mark's is on. Awesome. All right. So today we arrive at the work of the church. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to take a look at Paul's admonition to the church as he's writing to the church. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Let's stand in honor of God's word. Boy, I love these new monitors. Thank you for being part of the church. Thank you for being the church and giving the money and all the improvements that are happening. By the way, you got to go back in the nursery and see some improvements there. The counting room is now fully functional back here. Just awesome. It's nice to know that the counters can hear the sermon now as they're counting back there. Can I get an amen from the counting section?
Amen.
Did I hear it? Amen. You guys must have given so much money this morning that they just can't even hear us counting. Oh, they said? Okay, I didn't hear it. Okay. All right. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Boy, there's so much here I could preach for hours. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of us. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and each of these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I think that's what Ryan was kind of talking about this morning. Don't be lacking in zeal. Get back into the Word. Keep your spiritual fervor. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And then a shorter one, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And then I'll let you sit down. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. The apostle continues to talk to the church about who we are and what we are to be about. 11 through 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is the church. That we would grow to mature to become part of the body. It is the church. From him the whole body, joined together and held together, and every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love, and each part does its work. You may be seated. I have to be honest, this passage of Scripture convicts me deeply. I like to make things easier for people. And if I'm not careful, my mission from God will shift from equipping the people to do the work of ministry to making life easier for my friends. And I have to confess this morning that in the planting of Living Well, it's been easier for me to, when I see something that needs to be done, to do it myself. Because everybody's so busy, and I haven't wanted to imposition anybody. Now, it's not that I haven't, it's just that I could be doing much better. Then God created and implemented this ingenious little plan of me pastoring two churches. And it became impossible for me to do things that I used to do. And I knew it was coming. I knew that the changes were going to need to happen. I knew that I couldn't keep pastoring the way I was. Things were going to need to change. And you have risen to that. I see things happening now that I used to do that you are now doing. Thank you. I regret that it took me so long to get out of the way. And thank you for rising. Thank you for doing the work of the church. Thank you for standing up, making sure stuff gets done. I've seen the body at work more now in the last 2 or 3 months than I have for a long, long time. Thank you. I will have failed God, you personally, and I will have failed the church corporately if I fail to train God's people for works of service. I'm realizing that my role as pastor in the church is to train and prepare the members of the body for works of service. It's not my only role, but the fact is, the reach of the church will continue to be severely limited if I fail to step up to the plate here. I've been studying Proverbs lately. I've been studying the Proverbs on Tuesdays and Thursday nights with the groups that meet here. And I've been reading about it, and I've been thinking about the value of knowledge and wisdom and understanding and education. as the writer of Proverbs says, from chapters 1 to chapter 9. Just some personal gleaning here. If a teacher, for those of you in school, or having been in school or struggling through school right now, if a teacher provides the answer to every question to the student, like we can on Google now, hey Google, how many feet are in a mile? Bing, there it is. 5,400. I've already forgotten. But I got Google, right? Yeah. I don't need to remember. I got Google. If a teacher provided the answer to every question just like that, the student would eventually become to rely too heavily on the teacher and then eventually actually come to resent the teacher for making things too easy. The teacher must learn to help the student learn, to accomplish the joy of true learning. Joy is not having the answers always handed to us. True joy is discovering and possessing the understanding, wisdom, and knowledge that comes with the accompanying struggle of sifting and sorting through information to find the truth. You have to find it for yourself. Me standing up here and delivering an awesome sermon will not settle things between you and God. You have to take this journey, this personal journey, on for yourself. You have to sort it. You have to sift it. You have to test it. And let me testify, though, that it's worth the journey. And you will find truth. And you will find God in your honest search for truth. A little boy wanted $100 really bad. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
And prayed to God for a whole week, but nothing happened. So he decided to write God a letter requesting $100. When the post office got the letter addressed to God, they didn't know what to do with it, so they forwarded it to the president, to the White House. The president was very impressed and touched and amused, and he instructed his aide to put $5 in an envelope and send it to the boy. He thought $5 would be a lot of money to the boy, and it was. He was indeed delighted with the money, and then he immediately sat down and wrote a thank you note, which read, "Dear God, thank you very much for sending me the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you had to send it through Washington. And as usual, they kept most of it." Here's the moral of the story. If you want something, the best thing for you to do is work for it, is not to have it handed to you. Amen? And you will find joy in that journey, even though it's the most difficult way. It's the most difficult path. There's where the joy is. May God help your pastor to get out of the way when it's easier for me to try to make things easier for the church, for you. Just slap me around a little bit. Say, "Pastor, that's my job. Hey, that's my job. Let me do that." Because I get in the way too much. I straighten chairs. It's not that I'm too good to do that. It's that if I do it, people don't see it and growth stops. Because it will always be dependent on my ability to do the stuff. It has to be bigger than that. Amen? And praise God it is. Praise God it is. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we'll have anywhere from 40 to 60 people here. Praise God, I can't serve that many people. God didn't design the church to run by one person. It's a beautiful thing when the body works together and the hand bone's connected to the wrist bone and the wrist bone's connected to the arm bone and the arm bone's connected to the shoulder bone and all that good stuff. So, what are these works of service? In Ephesians chapter 4, when the Apostle Paul says it is the pastor's role, it is the evangelist's role, it is the prophet's role to prepare God's people for works of service, what are these works of service? Well, I think it's necessary that we consider the comprehensive nature of the work of the church. And if we are to understand what the role and purpose of the church is, we have to look back to Jesus, amen? And we have to think about what did Jesus do while he was here? And let's do that, amen? When we get confused about what we're supposed to do as a church, let's just look back at Jesus and say, let's just do what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's about as clear as I think we can get. So let's, when you get home this afternoon, I want you to look at John chapter 4 and read the entire chapter. It's the story of Jesus' interaction with the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. He was a Jew. You remember the story? She was there by the well, drawing from the well at the heat of the day when all the other women had went back to their houses because nobody drew water in the heat of the day. It was the wrong time to draw water. Jesus, passing through, was thirsty. He asked her for a drink. And she was like, what? I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. You know as well as I do, Samaritans and Jews don't talk to each other. And here you are asking me for a drink. Now that began to unpack a whole series of things that was going on in her life. Just that simple question. And pretty soon we realized that Jesus not only healed her spiritually, but he healed her relationships. He healed her emotionally. Pretty soon she was running back to town. Even though relationships had been fractured time and time again, she was running back to town, telling people at the top of her voice, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. We realize that Jesus brings help and healing to every area of life. What is the role of the church? It's to do what Jesus did. It is to care for the entire person, emphasizing and certainly recognizing that the spiritual center is the very core of who we are. That's the part that lives eternally. It's the part that is non-negotiable. It's the part that will live with God forever. And everything else flows out of the Spirit. Jesus encouraged the woman. He said, whoever drinks from the water I give will never thirst again. Financially, emotionally, mentally, physically. This morning out at Lost Lake, we prayed for a woman who is my age, who just received a diagnosis of Parkinson's. She also has some kind of autoimmune disease going on in her body that's preventing her body from healing. They're treating it as lupus, and the church gathered around her. We laid our hands on her and we prayed. The church sticks together. The church recognizes that we have needs that go beyond the physical, that go beyond the spiritual, that the church has needs that the church can support and help and be a family and be a community to this beautiful family in our church. Sir, she says, give me this water. Give me this water. And for everyone who's searching this morning, looking for answers, looking for truth, the reply is the same when they find Jesus. Sir, give me this water. John chapter 4, verses 25 through 26, the woman said, as she's summing everything up, she says, as she's talking to Jesus, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything. Even more than Google to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Oh, I have found it. I have found him. Everything my soul, my body, my spirit, my mind could ever need is found in Jesus. My creator, my sustainer, my savior, my sanctifier. He is the one who made me. He's the one who knows what's best for me. He has a plan, a beautiful plan for my life. Praise His name. My call to ministry is found in 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You could probably almost quote that because I've been sharing that for years now here at Living Well. Reality is that's everybody's call to ministry. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Deep within a forest, a little turtle began to climb a tree. After hours of effort, he finally reached the top. He jumped wildly into the air, waving his front legs, and crashed to the ground. After recovering, he slowly climbed the tree again and jumped and fell to the ground. Again and again, the turtle tried and tried. All the while, a couple little birds sitting on a branch watching and laughing at his sad efforts. Finally, the female bird turned to her mate and said, "That turtle is an idiot to think that he can fly." She chirped, "I think it's time that we tell him he's adopted." My point is this. Now just forget the story. Here's my point. My point is you have gifts and abilities that nobody else can do. You have been created, if you're a bird, to fly. If you're a bumblebee, if you've been created to be a bumblebee, you've been created to do physics-defying flight. If you're a turtle, flotter, you have been designed with a thick shell. And the turtle can win the race. Whatever you're gifted at, whatever God designed you as, it's unique. And the fact is, until your gifts and my gifts are fully utilized in the church will always be a little bit short of accomplishing full effectiveness. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. In Romans chapter 12, we read that you may be graced with the gifts of teaching. If so, teach. If you've been given the gift of leadership, then lead. If you've been given the gift of generosity, then give. If you've been given the gift of mercy, then show mercy. So what does the church do? Well, we do what Jesus did. He was really good at drawing crowds, wasn't he? He orchestrated attraction events that brought people together and connected them to Jesus. Now, at this, just a brief look at what he did, didn't always seem very spiritual. Are you with me? Jesus did stuff like handed out bread to people who probably didn't deserve it or didn't need it or whatever, but Jesus handed out bread. He took rides in other people's boats. He held children on his lap. And the disciples thought he had way better things to do than that. They couldn't have been more wrong. Jesus attracted people through events and circumstances. He went to Matthew's home where Matthew was having a party with all of his rowdy friends. What's Jesus doing there? That's where the people were. Amen? It didn't all seem so spiritual, but yet Jesus was good at connecting with people. And so let's do that. Let's do things that may not always seem all that spiritual, like continue to give bread and continue to care about kids and continue to be with unchurched people. Amen? Because that's what Jesus would do. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I didn't have a chance to tell this out at Lost Lake, but in one of the churches that I pastored, I had my head of trustees was a man about my age. Years ago, he came to the church from an unsaved family, a family that didn't go to church, had no affiliation with the church. About a year in after he began attending the church, there were some things going on in his life that were hard. And bottom line, he and his family fell on some really hard times financially. He didn't say much to anybody, but because people were close to him in the church and he had friends in the church, the news kind of got out that they were struggling financially. The next Sunday, he walked by the bulletin board and there was an envelope with his name on it. And in that envelope was $500. And he said, John, it's not a lot of money. And it didn't really meet all the needs that I had. I was grateful for it, though. And he said, I'll tell you what I found in that was part of the problems that got me to where I was were my own making, and I needed to fix it the hard way. I needed to take responsibility for some of the things that created the financial deficit. But the church stepped up. And the church showed me that we were all in this together. And the church showed me that I have a family and I have a community of faith that love me. And now some 40 years later, he continues to serve in the church. And he's been head of trustees, now church leader for a long, long time. Number two, Jesus taught. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now he saw the crowds. Jesus did attraction events and he also taught. He saw the crowds. He went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. I love this because Jesus taught everybody. Here you were learning truth from him, but you didn't even know it was happening. He was so good at it. He would take a mustard seed and he'd talk to you a little bit about it. And pretty soon your mind is exploding about spiritual things. And he'd talk about dirt. And your mind is exploding about hard dirt and soft dirt and what happens in nature when seed goes in soft dirt as opposed to hard dirt. You're thinking, that's kind of like my own soul. That's kind of like my own heart. And before you know it, Jesus is unpacking things in our life and we're looking at it and saying, oh my goodness, I've never seen that before. Wow. Mind is exploding with truth. Jesus taught. He was a cousin. He was a son. He was a man. He was a prophet. He was a priest. He was a king. He taught the down and outers and he taught the up and outers. He taught those who had leprosy, the blind, the deaf, the demon possessed, the up and outers, the tax collectors, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the chief priests. He interacted with Pilate in John chapter 18 and he talked with poor beggars. He interacted with centurions and children. He taught short people like Zacchaeus. We all know he talked to tall people. That's my little brother over here. My little brother. He talked to shy people, like the woman with the bleeding problem. And he talked to loud people like Peter. And he talked to betrayers like Judas. And he talked to rough and tumbles like James and John, sons of thunder. You see, Jesus made himself approachable to everybody. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians talked about making himself a slave to everyone so as to win as many people to Christ as possible. He says, to the Jews, I became a Jew. To those under the law, I became under the law, though I myself am not under the law. To those not having the law, I became as one not having it. To the weak, I became weak so as to win a few. Picnics and grocery stores and laundry rooms and movie theaters and hospitals. We go and we take Jesus with us. It's not like an add-on. He's not like, hi, I'm John and I brought Jesus with me. It's more like, hi, I'm John and Jesus lives in me. He lives through me. Ephesians 3:10, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers, authorities, in the heavenly realms. Finally, Jesus lived a spirit-filled, prayer-saturated, sacrificial, God-centered, holy life. Jesus, you know, probably followed in his father's footsteps and learned the trade of carpentry. And you know, I think if Jesus was with us today, it probably looked something like this. Just a hard-working young man, living a spirit-filled, prayer-saturated, sacrificial, God-centered, holy life. Here's the thing. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And for everyone from the right to the left, from the front to the back, in here this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that God loves you so much that he gave his only Son, that the life that you are now living, that is headed for a dead end eventually, because we all run out of go, we all run out of strength, our bodies break down, we get tired, we run out of enough knowledge, we run out of smarts, eventually we get to the end of ourselves. And eventually we hit a wall. And I want you to know that just on the other side of that wall is Jesus. Because God loves you. And he does not want you to perish. He does not want you to die in your sin. And he's given you his life. And he wants you to know that he loves you. So the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Two men were talking on a sidewalk one day. They were discussing about the miracles of Jesus. He says, I don't know about all of that, like turning the water into wine, and I don't know about turning 5 loaves and 2 fish into enough to feed thousands. He said, I want to believe, I don't know about all that. The other man, who was a believer, said, I know, I understand. I understand the struggle with understanding the miracles. He said, I don't know about all those, but I can tell you that at my house, Jesus turned beer into furniture. And he turned pornography into school books for my kids. So the Apostle Paul says, I didn't go out to share Christ with great persuasive words and a great flashy demonstration, but rather just here's what's going on in my life and here's how Jesus changed me. It's just personal testimony. It's you and me going back out from here into the world where we live and swinging a hammer. It's about you and me going back to the world where we live and cracking bones. It's about turning a wrench. It's about working on the computer and fixing electronics. Because in those relationships, God has placed you to be the church, you and me, to come along beside people and build them up in the relationships and to be there when they do hit a wall and to be able to share the reason for the hope that is within us. So thanks for being the church. Thanks for rising to the challenge. Thanks for overcoming the obstacles. Thanks for getting out there and sharing the good news that it's not about come and see a show. Yeah. It's about come and meet Jesus. Yeah. It's about, let me tell you who he is and what he's done for me. And you can do that 24/7, 365. I'd like to invite our worship team to come. Let's pray. Lord, today we thank you that you are the Lord of the church. You are the one who created us and breathes life into us. That you have given life to the church, your body in the world today, your hands and feet, your missional mind, your missional spirit, your missional passion. Thank you, Lord, for leading us this morning, for leading our thoughts, for leading us to realize that there are people all around us that are eagerly desiring to hear the truth and hear the knowledge and hear the hope that is within us. Thank you for who you are, Jesus. You sure don't make it easy for us, that's for sure. You don't give us all the answers. You don't remove all the obstacles. You don't deliver us $100 bills when we ask for them. But oh, how real. How amazing that you would build your church as you build your people. As you transform us, our minds, our souls, into the very nature of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for anyone here who has not accepted you as their personal Savior. Lord Jesus, we pray that prayer right now. Lord Jesus, I confess today that I'm a sinner. I confess that I have not always chosen the right thing to do. In fact, I knew the right thing, but I did the other. I recognize, Lord, today that you are my creator. You are the one who designed this universe. You are the one who designed me. You know me inside and out. You know the times that I have resisted you. You know the times that I have done my own thing. But you love me anyway. And you graciously sent your Son to give his life for me, that I may live. So today, Lord Jesus, I accept your sacrifice for my sin. I accept the holy blood of Jesus as the payment for the penalty of death that I deserve. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Spirit, fill me with your life, fill me with your forgiveness and mercy and grace. And Lord, fill me with faith that I may move on from here. Thank you, Lord, for welcoming me into your family. Thank you for your gracious gifts in my life. Gifts of grace and mercy and forgiveness and love. And things that I can be really good at, that I can do for you, Jesus, that I can help the world be a better place, that I can be a part of a community and a family that's all about doing and being who you created us to be. Thank you, Lord, for your saving grace on me. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes.
Will you stand and sing the last song with us?
Man of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus slain. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Sent of heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem, and reconcile the very ones who nailed him to that tree. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full, by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood of my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. The stone is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb. Hallelujah, God be praised. He's risen from the grave. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee.
Praise and honor unto thee.
I suppose you want to pass.
I'll take that for you.
We'll give her a pass since she's holding her new grandbaby. A couple of announcements. Board meeting today following morning worship after we set up for the well. One community praise night is tonight at the Dixon High School at 6:30. Hope to see you there. It's a great time of just worship and celebration of Jesus and being one in the Spirit. Amen. As churches all over the Sauk Valley. The Christmas Walk is December 7th. We'll host hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people here. And we're going to set up an iceberg for Santa Claus somewhere here and be showing the Charlie Brown Christmas on the monitors. The activity we have been most involved with is, of course, hosting Santa, and we'll be doing it again this year. If you'd like to help decorate, please see me. Like, I'm this master decorator, but I will make sure that the persons or people you need
Shelly
to see.
Shelly and I are going to help.
Oh, awesome. Come see Shelly and Lisa. That'd be great. Okay. Church membership class is planned for Saturday, December 1st from 2 to 6 at our place. That's the Trotters. This class will be made up of attendees from both Living Well and Lost Lake churches. And then in preparation for December 9th, which will have a church membership day. That'd be a great day to join the church, wouldn't it? December 9th. All right. Christmas open house, December 15th at the Trotters. We'll just open our place and y'all come through and grab a sandwich and eat a cookie. And yeah, we'd love to see you there. A church prayer home group meets in your home every Wednesday night. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, right in your house, right in your house. They come to your house. Well, you pray in your house. This is how it works. These prayer needs, prayers of intercession, and praises are shared via email in your email box, and you receive the list, and then you pray in your home on Wednesday nights, and then sign that you prayed. Join in every week for our selected church family. Did you know that you're prayed for? We write your name in, and we pray for you. So we pray for a church family. There's needs shared from KSV, our chaplain there. The needs that are intended for general church distribution and shared via text and email with me or with Lisa or Jeanette. If you'd like to be added to the weekly prayer group that meets in your home, Let me know your email address and I'll get you added in. Thank you for your prayers. Jesus said, my house, my house, my house, your house will be known as a house of prayer. Yes. Amen? Amen. And finally, the Well, Fighting Hunger, Feeding Wellness is a partnership with KSB and Living Well. It takes place every Tuesday and Thursday night. Did you know that there have been over 6,700 meals served to date and 6,300 of those have been distributed and served here at Living Well Church since January 1st. 430 of those have went to St. Anne's and are served there. On site, we have served over 3,000 meals since January, and I praise God that we can be a part of that ministry. Setup for the Well is very simple. All the purple chairs go along that wall. The folding chairs are stacked up right over here. And all those seats just slide directly forward. Because you know, I like the way they look when they're kind of gray, mauve, gray, mauve, gray, mauve. And it looks just so nice. So we don't have to redo that when we set it back up later. So just, right, yeah, just put bring them all forward and that works for me. All right, the best.
All right.
We have a written doxology and then we'll sing the doxology. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you guys. You are dismissed.
I thought that was fast.
No.
I was just following John. That was fast. When held up a note at the end, I was doing my job. I'm just being beat.
Oh, here we go. Go, Bill, go, Bill.
I know the rest of the soul. His blood has covered my sins, I believe.